So yesterday we started to talk about a iser that comes from our parsha, and that is that we're not allowed lo sa'achilam. We're not allowed to facilitate a child to do an aveira, even if the child might be a minor, even if they might be a katan and has no understanding of what the iser might be. We're still not allowed to do that. That's from this week's parsha, and it's something that is reiterated twice again in Parshas Emor. So let's just talk about an issue that we raised yesterday. We spoke about the Medrash that says, Lo sasa ka malacha, ato vincha vitecha. Says the Medrash, what does it mean? You're not allowed to do malacha. Ato vincha vitecha means, also, your children are not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, even if they are not adults, even if they don't have an understanding, you're not allowed to do malacha. So Reb Chaim Ozer discusses, why do we have to have a separate drasha? Why do we have to have a separate limud when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, that one is not allowed to have their children do malacha? Isn't this the halacha with regard to all isurim, all violations, all prohibitions in the Torah, that not only am I not allowed to violate them, but my children are not allowed to violate them either? So we spoke about that yesterday, why we might need a separate limud by Hilchos Shabbos more so than by other isurim in the Torah. There is a major dispute that took place in Poland in the 1800s, the beginning of the 1800s, and all the great gedolim of Poland weighed in on the issue. So you have Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Tiferes Yisrael, who were contemporaries, 20 years apart, but basically contemporaries. And then you had the Mishkanes Yaakov, who was also the end of the 1700s, beginning of the 1800s. And you had the Chassam Sofer, who was the son-in-law of Rabbi Kiva Eger, and the Eshel Avram, the Buchacher. All of them weighed in on the following issue. What was the issue? The issue was that in Europe, most communities in Poland did not have an Eruv. Most communities cannot afford to put up an Eruv. Not only did most communities not have an Eruv, most communities also were so impoverished, were so poor, that they were not able to have the luxury that we have, that we have sidurim and chumashim in the shul, and we have sidurim and chumashim at home. A family only had one sitter. So the father has to make kiddush on Friday night. He doesn't know how to make kiddush. He has to have the sitter at home. Shabbos morning has to come to shul. How's he going to daven? What's he going to do? So they used to have to figure out, we don't have an eruv in town. How are we going to get the sitter from the house back to the shul? How are we going to get it back from the shul back to the house? We have to bench after the meal. What are we going to do? So the answer is, this was the question that was sent to Rabbi Kiva Eger. Maybe we're allowed to have our young children, the ketanim, who are under bar mitzvah, carry the sitter or the talis or the chumish from the house to the shul, from the shul back to the house, because after all, we're doing it for the sake of a mitzvah. Maybe there's some grounds to be makel. Maybe there's some grounds to allow the young child to carry the sitter or the talis. Now the question is, what's the havamina? Why should we assume that a child should be allowed to do that? If there's no Erev in the town, it means there's a malacha of hotzah. You're not allowed to carry outside without an Erev. So the same way we have an Isser for a child to do any malacha on Shabbos, even though he's only a minor, that should apply equally to the Isser of hotzah of Shabbos as well. So what should be the Havamina? Why would a person think that you're allowed to have a child carry the Siddur or the Chumash or the Talis, even though it's a Makam Mitzvah? After all, there's no Erev. You're not allowed to violate the malacha of hotzah, even Ayidei Banav Haktanim. So this is the Shaila that was sent to Rabbi Kiva Eger. Again, Rabbi Kiva Eger passed away 1837, so it was sent to him by those who were alive at the time. And Rabbi Kiva Eger responds to the Tiferes Yisrael by saying the following. Number one, before Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Eshel Avram, who was also weighing in on the issue, the Eshel Avram says something fascinating. And he writes, no, maybe the only time there's a concern of lo sa'achilam, the only time you're not allowed to have your children do an Aveira, is in a situation where we're talking about that the kid, when he grows older, will remember, oh, we were allowed to be Mechala Shabbos, we were allowed to write on Shabbos, we were allowed to drive cars on Shabbos, we were allowed to do all kinds of things. That's when you say the child is not allowed to do any Aveira, any Isser in the Torah, because when he becomes older, he's going to make a mistake and violate the Isser when it really counts. However, says the Eshel Avram, maybe you should argue that in a case where the child won't make any conclusions when they become older from something that they did as a child, maybe there's no prohibition for them to violate the Isser as a child. For example, he writes, our case. The child doesn't know whether or not there's an Erev in town. The child doesn't know that there happens to be a string up the Shabbos or the string is down. So you ask the child, please, can you carry my talis to shul for me? When the child grows over, he's gonna remind himself, oh, when I was a young child, I used to carry outside my father's talis, my father's sitter. Is he going to draw a conclusion that now you're allowed to carry without an Erev? No, he's going to say to himself, I'm sure there was an Erev in town. That's why I carry the talis. That's why I carry the sitter. And because he's not going to draw any wrong conclusions from what he did now, therefore the Eshel Avram argues there's nothing wrong with him doing the Isser now. After all, he's below bar mitzvah. He's not mitzvah in the Isser at all. He's not obligated to fulfill any mitzvah HaTorah, and therefore we assume there should be no problem at all. And he goes so far as to say, let's say a fire breaks out on Shabbos, and it's not a situation of pikuach nefesh. Let's say you have a fire, it's very contained, but it's going to do some damage, but it's ultimately it's not going to cause pikuach nefesh. Again, how that can ever happen, it's hard to judge. You should never take chances. But the Gemara says, if you have such a case, so then you're not allowed to be mechabe esad leka b'shabbos. You're not allowed to put out the fire. Says the Eshel Avram, what if a child starts walking with the hose to put out the fire? Do we have an obligation to stop the child? So at face value, I would say, of course you have to. The child is not allowed to do any malacha on Shabbos. Ato v'nchavitecha. However, says the Eshel Avram, no, he's not going to learn to do something wrong when he's an adult. He's not going to violate the Yisra Mechabe. When he reminds himself as an adult of what he did as a child, he'll say, oh, there was probably a pikuach nefesh involved there. There was somebody who was stuck in the house. We had to put out the fire. Maybe it would have spread. And therefore, he's not going to draw any wrong conclusions from what we're allowing him to do right now. Now, this is a very troubling Eshel Avram, because how far do you take that? Then there's Ein L'Davar Sof. A child can do anything, because you can say, oh, maybe the only reason why my father took me to McDonald's to eat a treif sandwich is because it was pikuach nefesh. We had nothing to eat. Or the only reason why I did this or I did that is because it was So where do you draw the line? We shouldn't be mechanech our children to do anything, because when they get older, they'll say, everything I did wrong as a child was pikuach nefesh. So it's a very hard line to draw, and therefore we don't generally accept this suggestion of the Eshel Avram. So why would there be a havamina? Why would we assume that maybe there's room to be lenient for the child under bar bas mitzvah to be asked by the adult on Shabbos to carry the talis or the siddur in a place where there's no Erev, and we know that they're going to violate the Isra of Hotzah? Why should we assume that maybe there's room to be lenient, there's room to be mekel, and allow the child to do so? So the story begins as follows. The story begins that all of Melech Shabbos stems from the Melech HaMishkan, from all that was done in the Mishkan. So the Melech of Hotzah, when do we assume that you're not allowed to carry outside? Only when you're going through a Rishus HaRabim. What is the definition? How do you figure out how to clearly determine what is considered a Rishus HaRabim? So you look at what was done in the times of the Mishkan. So in the times of the Mishkan, they had a main thoroughfare that was Tes Zayin Amos, 16 Amos wide. That was wide enough to have two wagons carrying the Mishkan, and all the Jewish people were traveling through that. So we assume that's the first definition that's needed, the first characteristic to require a Rishus HaRabim is that you need to have 16 Amas, you need to have Tes Zayin Amah, otherwise it's not considered a Rishus HaRabim at all. There's a further discussion in the Rishonim, do you also need to have 600,000 people walking through that place as well? Well, in the times of the Mishkan, you had all the Jewish people were traveling to and from the Mishkan, they were going back and forth to hear Moshe Rabbeinu Shir on Shabbos, and they were going to be Makriv the Karbanos on Shabbos, so some Rishonim say that you need two characteristics in order to be considered a Rishus HaRabim Midaraisa. Number one, that is Tes Zayin Amah wide. And number two, that you have 600,000 people traveling through it. Do they have to travel through every day, or just do they have to travel through over a span of time? Major discussion in the Mishnah Berurah, not clear how do we define what exactly Rishus HaRabim is. However, the Ramah says, since nowadays, and the Ramah is talking in Krakow, so nowadays he says, we don't have these big thoroughfares, we don't have highways like that where you have 600,000 people going through, or Tes Zayin Amah wide, you don't have such big streets, and therefore the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch both assume, Ein lanu din Rishus HaRabim Mizman Hazeh. We don't really have a Midaraisa Rishus HaRabim nowadays, because that's not something we're used to. We don't have such a thing in the shtetl in Poland, in Krakow, they didn't have a Rishus HaRabim. Again, maybe in New York City it's a little bit different. We do have big streets that really have many, many people walking through them, and very wide. Maybe the rules would change, but in the general setting that the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch are talking about, they say, we don't really have a Rishus HaRabim nowadays. So, for starters, whenever we talk about Hotzah, B'Shabbos nowadays, we're generally talking about not an Isser Hotzah on a level of Daraisa, we're talking about an Isser Hotzah on a level of Dirabanan, because we don't really have a Rishus HaRabim in Daraisa nowadays. That's the assumption of the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch as well. So what? So what? Just because you knocked it down and you say, we live in a shtetl in Poland, we live in Krakow, and there's no Hotzah Midaraisa, therefore what? Therefore I'm allowed to have my kid violate Shabbos Midarabanan? Why should that be allowed? So the story goes a little bit further. When we talk about this prohibition in our parsha of Lo Sa'achilam, of not allowing a child to violate an Avera, the Rambam writes, that applies not only to violating an Issa Daraisa, but you're not allowed to have the child violate an Avera Midrabanan either. The child is not allowed to violate any Avera. As an adult, you have the obligation to make sure that the child keeps to the laws of the Torah as best of their ability, and if you see them violating, whether it's an Issa Daraisa or an Issa Midrabanan, you must, as an adult, stop them from doing so. That's what the Rambam writes, and that's the Pshat that the Shulchan Aruch follows as well. However, the Rashba disagrees. The Rashba says, no, The only time we have a prohibition for the child to do an Aveira, whether it's on Shabbos or in any other area of Halacha, is only when the child is going to violate an Isser D'Oraisa, a biblical prohibition. However, when the child is at worst going to violate an Isser Midrabanan, you can let the child go. How does the Rashba know that? The Rashba says, after all, we have a Gemara Masechah Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Tes, where the Gemara tells us a story about a child being allowed to violate an Isser D'Rabbanan of planting kilayim, which was only an Isser D'Rabbanan in Chutz La'aretz. So we allow the child to go ahead and do it. However, the Gemara says we should stop the child from doing it because maybe when he becomes an adult, Shema, Asi the Mishrach, maybe he'll come to make a mistake. He'll say, well, I remember as a child I was doing the gardening. I remember that I was planting all kinds of kilayim together. So now as an adult, I'm allowed to do it as well. Says the Rashba, why is the Gemara only concerned that maybe when he becomes an adult he's going to make a mistake? How about the fact that right now he's violating an Aveira? He's planting Kilayim Midrabanan. You're not allowed to do that. So how do we allow the child to plant a Kilayim Midrabanan and we only stop him because, oh, when he becomes an adult he's going to make a mistake? What about right now? Right now he's not allowed to do the act. Because we have a prohibition for children to violate Aveiras in the Torah. So how do you explain this Gemara? Says the Rashba, it must be, that a child only has a prohibition from violating Isur Midaraisa. But when it comes to an Isur Midarabana, when it comes to a rabbinic prohibition, that doesn't apply to children. So now, if you put that all together, the Teferis Yisrael argues, what do we have? We have in Europe these little shtetlach that have very small streets. So we're not talking about a Rishus HaRab Midaraisa. So the whole question of Hotzah is only talking about a Hotzah Midarabana. We're not talking about a Malacha Daraisa. So what's wrong if I ask my child to carry my siddur or my talis on Shabbos when there's no Erev in town, and I ask the child to carry it b'maka mitzvah to the shul or back to the house because I need the siddur, what can be wrong? So you'll say, what do you mean? The child is violating an Issur D'Rabbanan. Says the Rashba, nothing wrong with violating an Issur D'Rabbanan. After all, he's only a child. Nothing wrong at all. So that was the argument put forth by the Teferis Yisrael, and he said, that's why they allowed this practice in Europe and Poland. Many Gedolim allowed it because, after all, we're only talking about an Issur D'Rabbanan in the first place, and children don't have a violation to do something which is an Issur D'Rabbanan. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger is furious about this, and he says, how can you say such a thing? The Rashba never allowed that. First of all, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, as quoted by his son-in-law, the Chassam Sofer, this is only a discussion when we don't have a Nachri in town, when we don't have a non-Jew who can do it for us. If we have a Nachri, and we can easily ask the non-Jew to do it on our behalf, there would be no heter at all to ask a young child who's a Jew to do it. That's first of all. But even if there is no non-Jew, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the Rashba doesn't just give a blanket heter. The Rashba doesn't just say it's permissible. The Rashba says, under certain circumstances, certain conditions, we would allow it, but not generally that any child is allowed to violate any Issur D'Rabbanan. This is a major problem that Rabbi Akiva Eiger finds. He doesn't like the argument at all. And he says that we should absolutely refrain from asking children to do any malacha on Shabbos, which includes the malacha of Hotzah, even when Hotzah is only an Issur D'Rabbanan, like nowadays, because we only have Rishus HaRab Midrabbanan. We should not allow the child to do it. So this was a major discussion in the late 1700s, beginning of the 1800s, and everybody from that generation weighed in on the discussion about whether or not they think it's proper or not that the many communities have this practice of allowing a child to carry something outside when there is no Erev in the shtetl, in the community, that was in those times in Poland. So this was a very important discussion. I do remember that probably around 10 years ago, Rav Asher Weiss mentioned to me that he had seen a picture. It's a famous picture. You look on the internet, you can find it. There's a picture of the great Imre Emes. Again, the Imre Emes lived at the same time, in the end of the 1800s. He lived much later. He was in the end of the 1800s. He passed away in 1948. By Hakamas HaMedina, that's when the Imre Emes passed away. So the Imre Emes was one of the great Gerer Rebbes. So there's a picture of the Imre Emes walking with his son. And his son, one of his younger children from his second wife, was the great Pnei Menachem. He became the Rebbe later on in the late 1900s. So the Pnei Menachem is seen in the picture carrying his father's shtreimel with a bunch of Hasidim standing around. So some want to say, you see that the Imre Emes obviously allowed for his young son to carry without an Erev on Shabbos. Why? Because after all, he was wearing a shtreimel. When do the Hasidim wear a shtreimel? Only on Shabbos and Yontif. So obviously, if you see the young Pnei Menachem as a young child is carrying his father's shtreimel, it must be that the Imre Emes allowed for this kula, the Imre Emes allowed for his son to violate the Isra of Hotzah because it was only Midrabanan and it's a Makam Mitzvah. So therefore, that's why the picture is now understood. So Rav Asher Weiss said this over once. He told me this story. And then he said he finds it very surprising, very troubling, because after all, if it was really Shabbos Yom Tov, first of all, who took the picture? And second of all, if it was Shabbos and Yom Tov, how come only Pnei Menachem and the Yimri Emes are the ones holding the strimel? How come nobody else is wearing Big Day Shabbos? How come nobody else is wearing a strimel? So Rav Asher Weiss said it must be, in his interpretation, it must be that there was a family simcha, a family wedding, and only the family wears a strimel at the time. So the Yimri Emes is the only one wearing a strimel. All the Chassidim are wearing regular Big Day Chol, and that's the way he understood the story. He said, no bringing any proofs from that picture. He told me subsequently, and I verified with him again today to make sure I got the story right. I had it in my notes from 10 years ago, but he told me today that this was the story. That a number of years later, he was speaking in Antwerp, and he gave a shiur. There were a bunch of Hasidim in the room. And he said over about the picture, and he said how he doesn't understand how you can bring any proof from the picture, and somebody in the room jumped up, and he says, my grandfather was there. My grandfather was there, and this was in Czechoslovakia. It was in, what was it called? Marienbad? That's a resort, apparently, where all the rabbis used to go on vacation. So the grandfather was actually there, and Rav Asher Weiss said he was so excited to hear this, he went to the grandfather, the old man, to ask him the details of the story, and what happened was as follows. They were in Marienbad, and the Rebbe was on his vacation. And really, it was Shabbos. And what happened was, the Rebbe was afraid, because it wasn't their own shtetl, it wasn't in Ger, they were in vacation somewhere. So he didn't want to be so provocative to wear the fancy Big Day Shabbos with all the fancy kapatas and the fancy strimlech and everything. So he said, everybody should wear Big Day Chol to Shabbos. I'll be the only one who wears Big Day Shabbos. And on the way home, he didn't want to be so provocative to wear his strimel in the street. So he told his son, I want you to carry this strimel that we don't offend any of the non-Jews who live in the community. So it really was Shabbos. And that was really the story. And he was Makel because there was no Erev in that town. It was a resort. It wasn't a Jewish town at all. And the Imre Yamas was Makel by the heter of allowing a young child to carry without an Erev a Makom Mitzvah. He considered this a Makom Mitzvah. I'm not sure why. He could have left the strimel at home. But he said that this was a Makom Mitzvah for him as well. And that was the real story. The grandfather said the real story was he was there, and this was on Shabbos, and it was a non-Jewish photographer who took the picture. He saw a group of people walking together. He thought it was an interesting picture. And he said he remembers that on Sunday morning, everybody was clamoring on the doors of this non-Jewish photographer, asking him if they can get a picture, copy of the picture, because they were all excited, a beautiful picture of the Imre Emes with the strimel and his son, the whole thing. But that was the real story. So again, this was a major disagreement in the 1800s about whether or not we should allow such a thing. Or should we assume that this falls under the general category of Lo Sa'achilim? We're not allowed to have our children violate Averis, whether it's Averis B'chala Terakula or it's an Avera with regard to Hilchas Shabbos. We're told, Ato V'nchavitecha, not only an adult is not allowed to do an Avera or Malacha, a young child is also not allowed to do an Avera or a Malacha, and the adult has every responsibility and obligation to make sure the child refrains from violating an Avera. So this was a very interesting discussion whether or not there's room to be Makel when it comes to the Erev when we're talking only about a Nisa D'Rabbanan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.